Well, good morning. It's good to see you here today, and I know you've had a good week, and it's good to be back in the house of God to worship Him. We're going to be in the book of Romans again this morning. A couple weeks ago, remember, we were in Romans chapter 1. We're going to be back there again today, looking at verses 16 and 17. I guess it's been a couple months ago now. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I went through on a Wednesday night. It's been a couple months, but I'm going a little more in depth today, so it's not the same message, but I have been in this verse. It's a very popular verse, Romans 1, 16 and 17, very popular, a couple of verses there, and just pray that God will speak to you today. We're talking about what it means to be ashamed, but more importantly, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As Paul says, he is not ashamed. So Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Let's go, Lord, in prayer before we read the passage today. Father, we do want to thank you for this chance we've had to come and worship you today. And what a blessing it is that we are able to be here, that we do have health, that we have life, that, God, you have given us so much in our lives. And we just thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that Jesus, that you came and died and saved us from our sins, that we can have eternal life, that we can have abundant life even now. And as we study this passage and we read this passage today, may you bless the reading of the Word. God, may you speak to our hearts. May you open every heart up to hear what you want to say to them. And may we be responsive in obedience to whatever it is you lay on our hearts today. Father, I do pray that you give me the words to speak, that whatever is said will come from you and flow from your throne. And just guide us through this time together. Bless the remainder of this service and bless this sermon, God, that again we would be spoken to and we would be changed in our lives. And it's all these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And you can remain seated today, since it's a short passage. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. May God bless the reading of the Word this morning. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What a powerful statement Paul makes there when he says that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed to be a Christian. I remember when I was a teenager, I became a Christian at age 6, but in my teenage years is really when I had a spiritual experience at a retreat I went to, and God began working in my life towards ministry, and that was in the early 90s. And there is a group called Newsboys. I don't know if they're still out today or not, but at the time they were pretty popular. And they wrote a song. One of their first songs was, I'm Not Ashamed to Let You Know. And the song was, I'm not ashamed to let you know, I want the light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. That was the chorus line of their song, I'm Not Ashamed. And I'm pretty sure they based it on this verse. But what does that mean for us? When we think of Paul and he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. That's a very intrusive statement, isn't it? Because it'll make you seek yourself. It'll make you evaluate where you are in life. Am I ashamed of God or am I not? I guess I can start out the sermon this morning, believe it or not. We're starting out now, even though I've already spoken 5 minutes. But I guess as an illustration is what I'm trying to get at. The first illustration I used, I remember when I was in high school, and I may have told this story before, I only have a few of them, but I remember when I was in high school, we had a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'm guessing you know what that is. Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a very popular organization in the high schools. It's been around since about the early 90s, late 80s. And many of you probably have teenagers that were in it. or knew about it when they were in school, and maybe those of you that work with the school system know about it now. But Fellowship Christian Athletes is a national thing. But our school had that club. It was one of our clubs. And one afternoon, they brought in a singing group named First Impressions that came to sing in the high school gym. And it was one of those things, anybody that wanted to go could go. Of course, you know what that means. Half the school wanted to go, just get out of class, whether they didn't care if it was Christian or not. They just wanted to get out of class. Well, of course, I went because, well, I guess I wanted to get out of class. But more than that, I wanted to go because it was a Christian event. And I was already Christian. I always sold out to Christ at this time. But I remember I was sitting there that day, and I was sitting around a group of people. And they were kind of mocking and making fun of what was going on. What the men, the singers, they were three men that were pretty big guys, but the group of people sitting around me were making fun of some of the things they were saying, the Christian things. Like, they made a comment one time about something about abstaining from sex and how it's not good to have sex, and one of the guys from me said, yeah, it is, and he didn't say it out loud, but he said it with people around him could hear it, and they were just laughing the whole time, making fun of it. And I remember sitting there behind this and feeling a little intimidated, because here I am, a Christian, I believe everything these guys are saying, and all these people around me are making fun of it. And about that time, I get this feeling of intimidation and fear coming over me, and the guys, the singers, said to us, if you're going to stand for Christ, stand up now and come down the bleachers and come stand on the court. And they said, if you're going to do that, come down now. Stand up now and come down. And I had always said that if anyone ever gave me that option, that I would be the first to stand, and I wouldn't care what anybody thought. Well, I realized that day that wasn't true, because I sat there intimidated, and I was not the first to stand. I might have been the second or third, but I was not the first. Someone else was. I didn't want to stand because I was afraid that if I stood, they were going to make fun of me. I didn't want to get made fun of. I didn't want to be picked on. I didn't want to be mocked because I believed what these guys were saying. Now, it turned out that they all got up and stood down the court too, but they didn't, you know, they weren't Christians. And they didn't make fun of me. But I was not the first to stand, like I always thought I would be. And when I look back on that, what I think about is what this verse says. I was ashamed that day. I was ashamed to be a Christian, because they were making fun of our beliefs. They were making fun of what we stand for. And I was ashamed of that. That's why I couldn't stand that day. And I think about what Paul says, and I think about that day in my life. And I think, you know, how can Christ wasn't ashamed to go to the cross for me? Why couldn't I stand, even if I would have been made fun of, even if I would have been picked on and mocked? Why couldn't I stand for Christ? For Paul, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, when he says that, one of the things about the Bible is interesting is you got to kind of understand where they're coming from, the writers are coming from. And you think about when Paul says, I'm not ashamed, why does he even make that comment? Well, think about what Christianity was. I mean, we know what it is today, but think about what it was in Paul's time. It was new. It was basically a new religion. I mean, I realize it came out of Judaism, which was thousands of years old, but Christianity had just started. Christ had just passed. He had just been crucified, resurrected. Christianity was still new. And for the people that knew about Christianity and they knew who Jesus was, they knew that Jesus was a poor man, right? I mean, Jesus himself said he had no riches. He said, I have no place to lay my head. Remember, Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have no place to lay my head. Jesus was rich. He was poor. He was born in a manger. His life was one born of humility. He didn't have riches. He didn't have a lot of things. And the people, even if at this time non-Christians that knew about Christ would have known that. He was a poor man. And it could have been seen in a lot of ways as a poor man, a common man's religion. And the Jews, I mean, the Romans themselves had no really respect or appreciation for Jewish culture. I mean, it was the Roman Empire. It was not the Jewish Empire. It was the Roman Empire. And even though the Jews were allowed to worship and allowed to have their beliefs, you know, they weren't significant in that society. They were just another empire, another nation that the Romans had conquered. That's who the Jews were. We don't think of that in this time historically, but that's who the Jewish people were. They were just another nation conquered by Rome that was allowed to live their lives and have their lives, but under the guidance of the Roman government. And the Jewish people, they really didn't have, the Romans really didn't appreciate the Jews, didn't really appreciate their beliefs, didn't care what they believed. In a lot of ways, what we have today in America is, I mean, we have Christianity, but we have other kind of things. You know, there's some people that don't really care what we believe. It's more of a free state, a free society in that sense. And they knew, again, they would have known the background of Christianity. It came from Jesus, a man that was crucified, a man that was poor. And the crucifixion of itself was reserved for the lowest of criminals. The most despised and worst of criminals were crucified. I mean, that's what Christianity came out of. It came from a man that was crucified in the eyes of Romans, was the worst thing that could happen to you, and a man that was poor. That's what Christianity was. And when you look at the Christians in Paul's time, many of them were common people. They weren't the wealthy, they weren't the prestigious, they weren't the powerful. They were common people, and some of them were even slaves. And then when you look at the Roman society and the philosophies and the philosophers that they had and the pride that they had in their knowledge and the military might that they prided themselves in as well, you know, the odds were stacked against the Christians. I mean, we think about the day and we think it's stacked against us, but in this time it was a fledgling belief, it was a fledgling religion, and you take all the background of it, and it just... you could see why someone could be ashamed. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul realized, he said, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what the background of our belief is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. And when you think about that, I am not ashamed statement, the implication is that maybe there were some Roman Christians that were. You know, one of the things a few months ago when I spoke about Romans 1:16, one of the things I pointed out was that the Roman church was a very well-known church. It had become popular, people knew about it, and that doesn't mean that everybody was a Christian, but it had made inroads, it had done its missions. And Paul had heard about them and heard about their faith, as it tells us I think it was a couple weeks ago when I spoke on this, but in the first few verses here, in verses 8, it tells us that he knew about them and he had heard about them and their faith. So they might have been common people, but people knew who the Roman church was. But it's possible that some of them, maybe the word got out to Paul, that yes, they were a church of faith. Yes, they were a church of great Christian godliness. But maybe some of them did feel ashamed. Maybe some of them did feel like the dregs of society. I mean, keep in mind, they wouldn't have been popular. They wouldn't have been famous. They wouldn't have been rich. And even the disciples, Jesus' disciples, they came, they were fishermen. Nothing special about them. And maybe some of the people that were Christians in the Roman church, maybe they did feel ashamed. You know, we're worshiping a guy that was poor, a guy that was crucified. And maybe that began to sink into them. And Paul, in writing this, is saying, look, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of who Christ is. Don't be ashamed of what he has done. I am not ashamed. Because the gospel of Christ, he says, the gospel of Christ is nothing to be messed with. It's nothing weak. But it is the power of God. The creator of this world that had the power to create the world we live in had the power to design a gospel that would bring us back to God. Paul says, I am not ashamed. He encourages the Roman church not to be ashamed. You know, I think of this. I look at what Paul is saying here, and it leads me to a few applications and a few questions that I want to pose this morning to you. And you think about the Romans, and again, you think about us today in our society. Do we feel ashamed sometimes to be Christians? I told you my story of sitting there that day in the gym and the people around me mocking what was going on and feeling ashamed and nervous and scared about standing up for what was right and what I believed in, afraid of what someone might think, afraid of what someone might say to me, and it never happened, but I was afraid of it. I was ashamed that day. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, you can come up and, you know, and console me and patronize me, but I was ashamed, and you'll never convince me otherwise of that. And why is that? Why do we feel ashamed sometimes, and do we? Maybe you don't. Maybe you never feel ashamed, but sometimes I do, and I know I did that day. I mean, you think about it. We are not the majority in the world. We want to think, you know, a lot of people, a lot of nations in our world think that the United States is a Christian nation. And I know I'm very patriotic. I love the United States, but we are not a Christian nation. And you don't have to look very far to see that. And a very good example of that is just what Steve pointed out earlier today. California overturned the gay marriage ban, and whatever you want to believe about it, it's ungodly. It is not of God for men and women to marry, for men to marry men and women to marry men, or you know what I mean, men to marry men, women to marry women, gay and lesbian relationships, we would call it today. That is ungodly. That is not of God. In fact, that comes up in just the next few verses here in the book of Romans, chapter 1. But it is ungodly for a man and a man to marry, a woman and a woman to marry, regardless of what anybody thinks. It might be okay in the eyes of California government, but it's not okay in the eyes of God. It is a sin to Him. That's not the way He designed it to work. And that is a good example of what I mean. And it's not just California, but it's going to happen probably in other states. If they've been the role model of it, they've got it started. They've got the ball rolling, so to speak. They're the biggest state in the nation, population wise. And who's to say what's going to happen next? And it might not be gay and lesbian marriages. It might be a state that decides, you know what, we're going to legalize marijuana, or we're going to legalize gambling. That's when things happened in Florida. They've kept gambling illegal three times I know of. That gambling came up on the ballot to allow casinos in Florida, and three times it was voted down, and that was in the mid-90s. It's probably been since then they've tried to get it in, but you know as well as I do, Florida's going to get it eventually. They're going to vote in casinos eventually, and who knows what's going to happen down there. You think Las Vegas is bad. Wait till Florida gets casinos. You make fun of me now for being from Florida. You'll really make fun of me then. I mean, it's just going to get worse. The nation, we do not live in a Christian nation, and I'm not saying there aren't Christians in the United States. Obviously, we know that. We're Christians. And we're not the only Christians here. This isn't the only church in Adel. It's definitely not the only church in the United States. So, I mean, there are Christians here, there are godly people, but as a whole, we do not live in a Christian nation. We are not the majority in our nation, and by far not in our world. Now, does that say something against God? No. That says something against the corruptness of man. But the fact is, we are a majority. I mean, we are the minority in our Christian faith. And many do make fun of us for being Christians, don't they? They say that religion is a crutch, that it's a tool for the weak of mind, which they have no idea what it means to be Christian to say that we're weak of mind. But I've heard people say that religion is a crutch, it's a tool for the weak. And they make fun of our Christianity. They get mad, and just like in the 2004 election when Bush was voted in again for the second term, they called this part of the country Jesus Land and said that we had an average IQ of 21 or whatever. You may not know that, but they did. They made fun of us for being Christians and being stupid. They associate Christians with stupid and redneck and all of that. That's what they called us. And that was a fact. That's what they did. When Bush was reelected in 2004, that's how the non-Christians in our society view us. Stupid rednecks. That's what they think we are. Inbred, stupid rednecks. And I hate to say it, but that's what they think of us as. And that's how they view Christians. And it's easy to feel ashamed. It's easy sometimes to allow the thoughts that people have about us and the things that they say about us and the things that go against us with The Alabama government wouldn't allow the Ten Commandments in the lobby of that courthouse, and remember that a couple years ago, and the gay marriage ban overturned in California just this last week, and you think about that, and you say, you know what, we are the minority. But Paul says, and more than Paul, the Holy Spirit says to us, don't be ashamed of the gospel. We are not to be ashamed of who we are. So what if there aren't, you know, there's 6 billion people in the world and maybe 100 million Christians. Let me say that again. 6 million with a B, they say. Billion people. 6 billion people in the world and what? I said 100 million Christians. It might be more than that, but it's a small percentage. But that doesn't matter. We are still Christians. We still worship the true God, the powerful creator of this world. We will not be ashamed. You know, there's times when we are ashamed. Like I said, I was afraid to stand up for Christ because of what somebody would think about me. Or we're afraid to evangelize because we don't want somebody to get mad at us. You know, the times like that are when we're ashamed of being a Christian. Whenever God says, I want you to minister to this person, and you don't want to do it because you're afraid of what they'll think or say or act or how they'll respond, that's being ashamed of God. We cannot be ashamed. We must stand for God. We must allow who He is in our lives to drive us. It is the desire that God has given us to live for Him, to want Him. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel. We are not to be ashamed in our lives. I wonder about you today. I challenge you on that. Are you ashamed? You know, I hope you're not, and I hope I haven't offended anybody because of some of the things I said. I'm just telling you what people say about us, that I've heard people say about us and what they think about us in the media and things like that. And for the most part, people like Christians. I mean, we're known to be good people, and we do have godly people in our society. We do have the freedom of religion. But it's easy sometimes to let what people say about us, to let what the media says, to let what goes on in the governments and our states to make us think, you know, it's not that we regret being a Christian, but we say, you know, why are we hounded so hard? Why are we pounded like this? Why are we made fun of? Why are we picked on? Why is God mocked? And we think about that, and it could be easy to let ourselves, you know, I don't want to go visiting. I don't want to go knock on a door because they may get mad at me. They may throw something at me or sick their dog on me for being a Christian. And I remember one time in college, I heard a guy, they went down to Miami, and that's what happened. They went for a summer to start a church in Miami, help get a church started. And the guy was telling us when he came back to school, he was giving his testimony about it. He said he went to one house and going to tell somebody about Christ, and they stick their dog on him and chased him down the road. Because he was there to tell them about Christ, and he was a church person, a Christian. And that's how, you know, it's easy. You hear about that, and, you know, dog chased me. If somebody sticks their dog on me for being a Christian, I may never go visiting again. Because you see, Paul said, don't be ashamed. And here's somebody, Paul was beaten and imprisoned and ridiculed and left for dead and all of those things many times in his ministry. But he never quit because he wasn't ashamed of Christ. We're going to be persecuted. Christ said that. He said the world's going to hate you, but don't be ashamed of me. Are you ashamed of God? Are you willing to go and share the gospel with people even though they may not want to hear it? Are you willing to stand even though you may get mocked? Are you willing to live your Christian life and say you're a Christian even if you're the only one in hundreds around that would say so? Are you ashamed of the gospel? It's easy to come here. It's easy to come here and stand up here and with my big belly and say, I'm a Christian and I got my tie on. It's easy to say that to you. You're Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you're at church and you expect me to talk about Christ. So, I mean, you know, you're here because you want to worship God. That's why you came this morning. It's easy for me to get up here and say that, to tell you, to point my finger at you, and, you know, let's not be ashamed. Of course I can say that. All of you believe what I do. But what about when we get out of here today, when we go to the grocery store, or we go to the restaurant, or we go home, we go to work tomorrow, we go on vacation, or whatever it is, wherever it is we go in the next week, what about then? Are we going to let our mouth fly off and act like everybody else? Are we going to be a Christian, be a godly person, and to let people know verbally and with our life and our active life, say, I'm a Christian, and I don't care what you think, because I'm not ashamed to let you know I want the light of Christ within me to show. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I hope you're not, because Paul says, I am not ashamed. And he of all people had the most right to be. But from what people did to him, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Our hymn invitation this morning is number 309, and I hope that God has spoken to you. And maybe you've seen that, and maybe you say, you know what? I've been going to work, or I've been going here or there or whatever, wherever it may be, and I've been hiding my Christianity because I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. I don't want them to make fun of me. And I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to be mocked. And you're saying, I need to let people know I'm a Christian, no matter what they say. Or maybe you're just saying, you know, I haven't been living like a Christian. It's not that I'm ashamed. I just haven't been living the way I should. And I'm ashamed of myself because of that. And you need to get your life right with God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, I'm not even a Christian. I can't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I'm not even a Christian to begin with. And maybe you need to call on Christ for salvation today. Whatever God has laid on your heart, I pray that you'll be obedient to that. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. We have invitation time. Father, what an eye-opening message you've given us today. Lord, we do need to sit down, evaluate, to consider and to think, am I ashamed of you? When I go to public or I'm even at home by myself, you know, when people say things about Christianity and make fun of it, do I stand for you and do I say, well, I'm a Christian and I guess that's what I am? Or do we just kind of go along with them and hide that we stand for you? God, are we ashamed to go and evangelize to people, not afraid of how they may react, afraid that they may tell us to leave? They don't want to hear it, or they're not interested, or whatever it may be. God, maybe we're ashamed of that. Help us learn today, as Paul said, God, that I am not ashamed of the gospel. I hope that I can say that, God. It's like I said, it's easy for me to stand up here in front of a bunch of Christians and say that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What about to the lost of the world? What about to other people in the world? Can I say to them, God, help me not to be ashamed. Help us not to be ashamed. Guide us. Speak to us this morning. Fill us with your Spirit. And just guide us now in this time of invitation. And we just love you, God, and we praise you. We thank you for all you do for us and pray that you would speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray.